Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't it a privilege and an honor to walk by faith?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
To know what God has called you to do or to hear from Him on certain things and to just believe He's big enough to get things done. Yes. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Turn with me this morning to Ephesians chapter 6. I want to kind of continue on where we were last week. We were ministering some on, we know the word we received in December about increase in 2024. That word, as we've been ministering along these lines, that word will receive opposition. And that word, of course, is that in 2024, we're increasing more and more because He's that big and He's that good.
Amen.
And any word that comes forth from God will receive opposition. Or we could say it this way, a word from God, whether in the scripture or given forth through prophecy, by a man of God, when those words go forth, it doesn't automatically mean things will happen. Those words are an invitation. Many of you know my daughter is soon to get married, and so she's sending out invitations to her wedding ceremony. And so that invitation doesn't automatically mean that you go. There's plans that need to be made. There's arrangements that need to be made. And you need to either accept that invitation or decline that invitation, right? A prophecy is very much the same way. It's an invitation for more of God. It's an invitation for what God would like you to partake of. But it's our job to say yes.
Yeah.
Right.
To RSVP and say, yes, I'll come. Yes, I'll partake of that.
Yeah.
But how many know her wedding is months away, and she hasn't sent out her official invitations yet, but she's already saying, you know, if you want RSVP, you can. And, you know, people could RSVP, but something could come up between now and then.
Sure.
And they might have to renege, you know, they might have to pull out and say, thought I could, but sorry, I can't.
Right.
And what happens with prophecy is that a word can go forth and it's easy to say yes to it when you're in a service with other believers and the anointing's there in the room and the word comes forth and everyone says, yes. That I want increase. Yes, that's for me. That's great. But what happens is when we walk out into the world, life hits. And we've said this, the enemy is not going to be, not only is he not happy about us increasing in God, but he's going to do everything he can to oppose it.
Right.
And so we've spent these weeks kind of talking about this because we want to recognize his tactics, recognize his opposition when it comes, so that we know how to respond to that opposition. Anytime opposition comes, the first thing that needs to happen is we need to recognize it.
Yeah.
And so in Ephesians 6, verse 10, we looked at this last week. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Now, if you were studying this, these few verses, and you just had this particular ESV version, you could look at how many times, you can just stare at how many times he said the word stand or withstand, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing in just these few verses how many times he said that. He talks about this whole armor of God a couple different times in this. And he talks about the enemy, the devil, the schemes that he has, showing us that our life's work really is going to be keeping this armor on, keeping in the word, keeping the shield of faith, keeping the gospel of peace, keeping these things at the forefront, because the enemy is always going to try and bring schemes, opposition, different things. Not only that, but there's different layers, if we could say, in the spirit realm. There's different principalities and different types of demonic activity that are going on. Just like the kingdom of heaven has a hierarchy of angels and spirits that are working on our behalf, the enemy has a hierarchy. And the further you go in the kingdom of God, the further you increase, the further you press into God's realm, the more activity, the more demonic activity will be stirred up against you.
Wow. Yeah.
Woo, isn't that exciting? Glory to God. And that's why so often we'll see a baby Christian come, receive some of the word, get enlightened to some things, and say, wow, isn't God amazing? And then after a month or two, they stop coming to church. Why? Because the enemy starts hitting them, but here's the thing: he just doesn't show up and ring their doorbell in a red suit with a pitchfork. What he does is he throws life at them. He throws people at them. And so this verse is telling us that we need to be on the lookout for these things. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So he's going to use people to poke at us, to try and move us out of the plan of God, to try and get us off of the plan of God. He's going to use people and situations to make us look and say, well, I thought God said he had increase for me, but I guess he doesn't.
Wow.
So we need to be able to recognize that it's not the people, it's not flesh and blood that's the problem. It's not the situations that are the problem. It's not the car breaking down or, you know, something in the house blowing up. It's not that is the problem. It's the enemy that's stirring those things, that's causing those things to come about. And we need to be able to recognize the enemy's activity so that we know how to respond to that activity. There is a response that must be made to the enemy when he's at work. Most of you probably have Pastor Nancy's book. If you don't, I'd encourage you to order it, to get it. Her book, Answer It.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? She said for years she would go through seasons of mental torment, and she could almost feel when these seasons would start to come on her and the enemy would start to ramp up and bombard her mind. And she said for years, every time this would happen, she would just kind of grin and bear it, you know, like get a hold of the closest thing and just hold on for dear life and try to not have, you know, try to just hang in there until the enemy left. And she finally realized, hey, this happens all the time, and I'm not getting any better at getting past this attack.
Right. Yeah.
And she realized, I'm not responding correctly. to this attack. I'm not responding to this invasion that the enemy has. And she finally realized when the enemy comes, I need to be able to answer him correctly. Yes. Or we could say this, respond correctly. There are things that we are supposed to take authority over, and we do that with our response. Yeah. It comes out of our mouth. We understand that God has given us authority here on this earth. He's given us authority over our lives and the people in our lives. But it, the response, the authority is taken with our words. But as we were saying last week, we don't just go around as we see things that are being attacked in our lives, whether it's our finances or our health or in whatever area it is. When we see the enemy start to stir things up, we can't just start. Well, I shouldn't say this. You can, but we shouldn't necessarily just start saying, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. You can do that, but I have found that it is way more effective when we take time, as we looked, remember, James chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 5, when we take time to submit to God, to draw near to God, to get in the presence of God, if we could say it that way. Pray, spend some time with the Lord, and then start to, from the spirit realm, when you see that activity of the enemy, that's where you start to take authority and rebuke from that place, right? We're raised together with Jesus, right? In heavenly places, we are seated with Jesus in heavenly places. But how many know, even though positionally we're there, naturally speaking, we still physically live on this earth, right? So what does that look like? We weren't going to go there, but we're in Ephesians. Let's just look at Ephesians chapter 2. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's so good. Verse 5 says, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, so that is our position as a believer. We have been raised up because of Jesus's work, right? Because of his sacrifice, we have been raised up. But if we live here on this earth, how are we also seated with Jesus? How does that work? Can you be in two places at one time? We've got to realize that that's our position. That's our position in Christ. Right next to Jesus. That's a great position.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's a great position. So we are seated right next to Jesus. So let's think about this. What does that mean if I'm not actually there? So how can I be seated there? Well, we are all American citizens in this room, right? If we go to another country, a foreign country, we may be in a different country. I was just talking about India. I might go to India, right? And be in India, but that does not make me part of the Indian country, right? It does make me an Indian citizen or whatever the national, you know, whatever they say over there. I'm just, if we could say it this way, a foreigner. The Bible says it this way, an alien, a stranger in their world, in their country.
Yes.
But I'm still an American citizen.
Yes.
Right.
The whole time I'm traveling in another country, I'm still actually positionally an American. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And that's the way we need to look at this when we see we're seated. We are now a different nationality, right? Amen. We're a different position. We have a different place that we hold as a believer. We are seated with Jesus in heavenly places.
That's right.
The moment we get born again, that becomes our position. Praise God.
That's right.
But, you know, how many know if I went to a different country and just lived there for years, I might forget some of my American customs. Right. I might forget some of my American position that I had. And I would have to be reminded of it or keep coming back to my home country to remember all that that country provides for me. All that that position provides for me. And that's what our prayer life will do. It will bring us into that realm of God. And it helps us to remember and recognize our position in Him. When we're praying in other tongues, when we're praying out the plan of God, when we're praying about certain situations that come up, Father, I recognize the enemy at work in this situation, and I understand I need to take authority over this, but I'm going to spend time with you first in your realm, and I thank you for my position.
Yes.
And what I do, and this is so different, and I honestly have never heard someone minister like this in this particular way, but I draw near to God.
Yeah.
I spend time with Him. I submit myself to Him, and I remind myself of who I am in Him.
Yeah.
Right? By spending time in that realm. And then from that place, from that position, I can come out of my prayer time, or even while I'm in my prayer time, there I take authority. I answer the enemy.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean that, you know, if the enemy is bombarding your mind or your thoughts while you're in the car, you can't just take authority of that? No. I'm not saying this doesn't have to be, but I'm saying when you... I've seen long and drawn out attacks. I've seen things like what we're kind of dealing with here when we get a word about increase and then, you know, 50% of the people leave.
Yeah.
There's going to be there's going to be some opposition. We understand that, but there's going to be ways to handle that opposition.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's different levels of opposition that we saw in Ephesians 6:12. There's rulers, there's authorities, there's cosmic powers over this present darkness. There's spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. How do you know who you're dealing with or how to deal with them? You only know by God, with God's help. You only know with God's help. And so perhaps I'm just ministering this to help me and letting you all listen in. But there's a level of authority that we can walk into a greater degree when we do it from our place in God.
Yeah.
And so in order to do that, we must know how to access that place, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
We must remember that we are part of that place.
Yes.
And not just flippantly say, well, I rebuke you. Because if you just think, I just have to answer that, you know, I just parrot back a response that I've seen somebody else say.
Yeah.
Well, if there's no faith attached, everything we do with God has to have faith attached, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Faith comes by hearing. And you only hear if you're spending time with the Lord to hear.
Yeah. Right.
And as He deals with me, speak to that. Take care of that. I was thinking, meditating on this some last night, in the middle of the night, and I was actually reminded. I was hearing in my mind. I was hearing how many different people have said to me just in the past couple months. You know, I went to that service. But when I got in the parking lot, something came over me and I just kept driving and drove right away.
Oh, wow.
And I realized, you know, they were, this one particular person wasn't talking about this church. They were talking about when they were trying to get back with God after being away from him for a while, but said so many times he'd show up to the church parking lot and just drive right through and drive right out.
Wow.
And I realized there's other people that have told me they've done that here.
Yeah.
Well, who's out there in the parking lot? Who's out there to greet you before you get to the greeters?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
You know, you don't just wake up and decide I'm going to go to church and then all of a sudden fear starts to get on you when you get closer and closer. I mean, that's an attack. That's a move of the enemy.
Yeah. Sure is. Yeah.
But they don't recognize that as the enemy.
Yeah. Right.
And therefore, they just yield to it. Well, as a pastor, or as those of us that are connected wholeheartedly to this place, what if we get in the spirit and we start to see this activity?
Right. Yeah.
What if we start to recognize, like I did in the middle of the night last night? I recognize, wait a second. That's demonic activity. That's not just people being, you know, nervous to get around new people. And Pastor Nancy, she actually talked about this, ministered on this before she started pastoring. She actually did some evangelistic crusades when they lived in Tulsa. She and Dr. Dufresne lived in Tulsa. She rented a big tent. They did this big outreach, and they would get food and toys and different things for the needy. And they would have one tent full of that stuff. And then they would have another tent for the service, and they would bus people in. Mm-hmm. And they would preach this service. And then everyone who came got a ticket to go receive free items after the service. So it was this really amazing thing that she was doing. But she said, as she was ministering, she would watch people get up and leave.
Wow.
And she said, especially when she started to call for healing, people would get up to get in the healing line and instead walk out.
Oh, wow.
Or when she'd call for salvation, they'd get up to start to come forward for salvation and instead they'd turn and walk out. And she realized, as she was praying about that, that was the enemy. The enemy was pressing hard, and she told the people, she started to get to the point where at the beginning of a service, she said, while I'm preaching today, something's going to try and tell you to leave.
Wow.
There's going to be an overwhelming feeling that might come on you to get up and run out of here. She said, whatever you do, she said, that's because there's a devil that is real, and he doesn't want you to receive what God's power today.
Wow. Yeah.
So she would instruct the people, and she said, so whatever you have to do, if you feel that coming on your mind, she said, grab the seat and hold on for dear life.
Yeah. Yeah.
And decide,
amen,
right now, I'm not going to leave.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
So these things must be recognized. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not just a thought that comes to our mind that's overwhelming us with fear. It's not something that's telling us, you know, it's not just us that, oh, we thought we received from God, but I guess we didn't. And so there's this idea that we've got to get in the presence of God and stay there long enough so that we realize who we are, what we have, and we can start to, as we're praying in other tongues, we can start to recognize and see, that's the enemy. Okay, I'm gonna take authority over this now. Yeah. And it's almost like we step out of that place and we speak to those things, and they have to obey.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. They have to obey.
Yes. Yeah.
Because of the authority we have on this earth. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. So we have to recognize and remember who we are, our position that we have. Just like if I'm in a different country, I'm still, you know, if I'm only in a different country for 4 or 5 days, I'm not going to forget I'm American.
Right.
But if I'm in a different country for years,
yes,
It would be easy to forget.
Yeah.
What we had in America, what it was like in America, what, you know, mm-hmm. what things, you know, how people acted in America. And that's the issue with Christianity, is that we're now born from above. We have the citizenship of heaven. Mm-hmm. And yet none of us have actually been there.
Yeah.
And so we have to find out in the Word what our citizenship entails. We have to spend time in the spirit realm to participate in this citizenship.
Yeah.
And so it can take a little bit more effort than it would for me if I decided to go to Spain next week to remember that I'm an American, right?
Yeah.
But it's not impossible, or God wouldn't have told us to do it.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Right.
So we need to recognize the enemy's attacks. We need to be able to resist the enemy mm-hmm. when we see what's going on. How we resist him, we draw near to God, and then we are able to resist the enemy. Okay? So part of resisting the enemy is being able to get in the spirit realm
yes.
and know what we're resisting.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yes.
So that's what we talked about last week. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Romans chapter 4. You all are such great responders and listeners. I appreciate you drawing these things out. I know, you know, there are teachers in the body of Christ that can just flat teach line upon line the scriptures and give you outlines and give you points and poems and really help you remember things. And I'm just not those people. I normally preach it for 3 weeks and then realize what my title was.
Mm-hmm.
It's so backwards from how they would tell you to do a sermon, but I appreciate that you stick with us and we get these things out, because a lot of times I start saying stuff that I didn't even know we knew. So praise the Lord. Romans chapter 4, I was prompted to look at this morning. It is when talking about Abraham, talking about the faith of Abraham. And when we start to see the enemy working in our lives, when we start to see things that look impossible, even though God's told us we're supposed to have something different, well, Abraham's a good guy to look at, right? He was told at the age of 75 or so that he was going to have a son. Not only was he going to have a son, but he was going to be the father of many nations. And time ticks away. And decades pass, and he's not getting younger. His body is getting older, and his wife's body is getting older. And yet God's promise is still there for him to have a son. And this is amazing, because Abraham had to look at something that was absolutely impossible in the natural and still believe that God was able. And the further we go with God, the more he presents to us to do, the bigger things that he presents to us to do, like get a building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the further you go, it looks more impossible.
Yeah.
Than it did when you started?
Wow.
Yeah. Thank you, Father.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
We need to know how Abraham got some things done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we are not going to read, for time's sake, we're not going to read all of Romans 4, but it's an amazing chapter. Mm-hmm. But let's kind of jump in here in verse 17. It says, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. That's what God told Abraham. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Wow, that's
yes.
our God.
Yeah. Wow.
God, yes. God called, that's how he formed the world. He calls into existence, glory to God, the things that did not or do not exist. God calls things into existence that do not exist. In hope, verse 18 says, Abraham believed against hope. Now, what in the world does that mean? There's Bible hope, and then there's natural hope. Right? Two different kinds of hope. In hope, he believed God against natural hope.
Wow.
That he should become the father of many nations. Is this something that Abraham just came up with? I'm going to be the father of many nations. No, God said it. God said it over and over and over again until Abraham got it. That he should become the father of many nations as he had been told. I have that phrase underlined because faith comes how? By hearing. You can't have faith for something you didn't hear from God. And part of our walk with God is hearing what God says and then believing, having hope, having a firm persuasion that what God said is true against, even against everything in the natural that says it could never happen.
Right. Amen.
As he had been told, so shall your offspring be. Verse 19 says, Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Now, verse 18. Okay. One of my favorite sermons that I've ever heard Pastor Nancy minister on is on this verse right here, Romans 4:18. And it's interesting because, why don't you pull it up in the King James? It reads completely different in the King James just by the switching of some words. Who against hope, Abraham believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. Next verse. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Okay. He considered not his own body. And she preaches a whole sermon, and it flat is wonderful, called Consider Not. But if you'd put that back over into verse 19 in the ESV, it says, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body. So which one is it? Did he consider not? Or did he consider? Actually, when you read this and you compare other translations and things like this, the ESV is actually closer to the actual translation. But you could say it either way. But here's the thing, either way you look at this verse, it's not contradicting itself.
No.
It's saying, I've considered, remember he said in hope he believed against hope, right? In other words, naturally looking at the situation, I've considered and seen that everything is just, it can't happen in the natural. There's no way the numbers add up. There's no way the physical body in Abraham's case. No way our bodies, Abraham and Sarah, no way our bodies add up to what God says is supposed to happen. He can, whether you, you know, and if you look at the King James, says consider not, you know, you could almost look at it as don't look at that situation, but just look at what God said. And I understand that outlook. But the fact is, we're staring every day. Abraham was every day staring at Sarah, who was 90 years old. He was looking at his own body every day and feeling the fact that he didn't have it going on anymore.
Yeah.
At least what he needed to have a baby.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Now, let's look at Romans 4, 8. So let's start it with 18 in the Message translation. Praise the Lord. Well, do we want to start there? Yes, we better start there because it's long. Verse 18, okay. Oh, this says 17 too? Okay, we'll start in 17. We call Abraham father not because he got God's attention by living like a saint, but because God made something out of Abraham when he was a nobody. Isn't that what we've always read in Scripture? God saying to Abraham, I set you up as father of many peoples. Abraham was first named father and then became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do. He raised the dead to life with a word, make something out of nothing. Verse 18, when everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. Deciding to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do.
Yes.
All right, read that. He was deciding to live not on the basis of what Abraham saw Abraham couldn't do, right, in his own, but on what God said God would do. And so he was made father of a multitude of peoples. God himself said to him, you're going to have a big family, Abraham. Abraham didn't focus. There's a great way to say it. He didn't focus on his own impotence. Well, that makes it real for us, doesn't it? Didn't focus on his own impotence and say, it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child. Nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. Look at this. He plunged into the promise.
Wow.
And came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he had said. Oh, I like that. Glory to God. So whether you read it considered or considered not, the point is, in the face of seemingly impossible circumstances, impossible odds, if God has said something to us, we can plunge into the word that God has spoken and come up strong.
Yes.
Glory to God. We can wholeheartedly dive into God's word for our life.
Amen.
Whether it's written in the word or spoken out in a service, we can grab hold of that and dive into it, not considering, even though we look around and say, yeah, I see that the body's dead. Yeah, I see that there's not many people in the chairs. Yeah, I see what the checkbook says. But God said this, so I'm going to dive into what God has said.
Yes.
Amen.
Remember, we were talking at the beginning here about Brother Keith, how he said, you know, I preached healing day after day after day after day and realized I haven't even had to fight a symptom in years.
Amen.
Why? Because he dove into that subject of the word and came up strong.
Came up strong.
Yes.
And thought to himself, gee, Maybe I should start preaching more on prosperity. What? Dive into it. Dive into what God has said for us. And you don't have to be a preacher to do that, right? You can dive into these subjects. You can grab hold of these subjects. You can get in. And when opposition from the enemy comes, you recognize it. And you're going to respond to it by talking to and taking authority over what needs to be taken care of, right? Yeah. But you do it from this place in Him,
yes,
in this Word, where you've dove into His Word and came up
convinced, fully persuaded
yes, that what God has said, He is able to perform.
That's right.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Glory to God. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what He had said. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, yeah, we recognize when a word is spoken, when God has said something to our hearts, we recognize the fact that the enemy is going to bring opposition.
Yes.
And we need to be able to realize, that's not just them trying to oppose. It's not just flesh and blood. That's actually, there's the enemies behind that. Yeah. The enemy's trying to trip that situation up. The enemy's trying to cause that. And that takes some revelation. It's not, we don't walk around devil conscious, but we need to spend enough time in the Spirit and paying attention to these things that we can recognize the enemy's work. But then we need to respond correctly to that.
Yes.
It's one thing, you know, it's really easy for me when I hear somebody talking about this happened, it's really easy for me to say, that's the devil.
Yeah.
It's really easy to recognize His work. Anything that steals, kills,
and destroys.
Yes,
amen.
It's really not hard to recognize that. What's difficult is to know how exactly we're to proceed with this situation.
Wow. Yeah, true.
And that's where I think a step that sometimes is missing for people is this draw near to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Submit yourself to Him. Get in His presence. And from that place of authority that you have in Him, speak to those situations.
Yes.
Respond to those situations. Repeat what you're supposed to say. But then there's this thing that Abraham did. He dove in to God's word. Because when the enemy starts showing you all the impossibilities and adding to the list, so to speak, of impossibilities as you progress in the things of God, it's going to take more and more of what Abraham did. Now, the thing is, Abraham didn't do so well when he got the first word from God when he was 75. He didn't really believe. And that's why it took so long. God had to keep reminding him, had to keep tweaking. God even came down and changed his name at one point. Why? Because Abram meant a father, right? But Abraham meant father of many nations. He changed his name so that every time someone spoke his name to him, he was reminded of God's promise.
Yeah, that's right.
That's how serious Abraham had to get in plunging into this word. So we minister on these things. We take these things seriously. We rehearse them and go over them week after week because it takes that to actually receive life from what looks dead, right?
Yeah.
To actually receive what God has said when everything looks like it's, I mean, impossible situations are just, you know, God's like, okay, here we go. Now I can work. And we saw that with Gideon, right? He almost was like, no, you got too many people. Let's start whittling away. Let's start taking things out of the picture so that when this thing actually comes to pass and you win the battle, people can all say, well, that wasn't Gideon.
Yeah.
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 That was God. That was God. And the same with Abraham and Sarah. We can say it wasn't necessarily them, their bodies, that got the job done. It was God coming down and working a miracle in both of their bodies in order for this to happen and come to pass.
Yes.
And, you know, we read in the scriptures, Abraham went on to father many different children. Even after Sarah died, he took on a couple more wives and he started cranking out those babies. Not him personally, but, you know, helping father them. So God can start to do these things, but sometimes that increase before it fully manifests and God's promise fully manifests, a whole lot of what looks like decrease can be happening. And we need to know, is God telling us to get rid of this, right, in Gideon's case? Or is the enemy at work? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And in no unbelief, in verse 20 in the ESV, it says, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. So part of our job when we get a word from God, when we have a direction from God, is to recognize when the enemy's coming, understand that it's going to happen, and then respond correctly to the enemy. We do that, as we've said, by drawing near to God and then speaking to and taking authority over the enemy as we are led to do so.
Yes.
But the next thing we've got to do, it's not just taking authority over the enemy, but the next thing we've got to be able to do is respond like Abraham did by faith. Dive into this word. Take a hold of this word. Don't consider, even when you're looking at the checkbook and it says this thing is going to be impossible, you've got to consider all that God has said and realize God trumps it. And we do this, like he said, as he gave glory to God, he grew strong in faith. He grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God. So there's this idea, and we'll never get away from this idea. As long as Reverend Joel and I are ministering, we're going to be talking about rejoicing, right? Yes. We're going to be talking about giving glory to God. We're going to be talking about these things. We are to be able to respond in faith to what's going on. I know what that says. I know what I see in the natural, but thank God this is what God says. We have to be able to keep that in our mouth and not just respond to the enemy, but respond to God's word and what he said. We are to rejoice. We are to praise. We are to give thanks for all that God has done. And if I could say this, and we'll just try to finish this up here. We are to rehearse what God has said, right?
Yeah.
Rehearse what God has said. Now, we are to rehearse, if I could say it this way, the past, the present, and the future. Been talking about grammar and verbs this week in some of my classes. But the past, the present, and the future. Rehearse what God's done for you in the past. Rehearse the times that it seemed impossible and he still came through for you. Rehearse when it looked like you had missed it and you hadn't actually heard from God, and then all of a sudden it turned out you had heard from God and you did do the right thing. Rehearse those things. Remind yourself of the past, how faithful God has been. And then rejoice over the future, right? Rejoice over the future. Rejoice and see yourself with what God has said he said you would have. See yourself with the increase. See yourself in 2024 with more and more. See those things and rejoice over that which God has said. That's what it says. Abraham gave he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God. Lord, I don't see how it's going to happen, but you said I'm the father of many nations, so I thank you. I thank you for my children.
Yeah.
I thank you for all that you have for us. I thank you that Sarah's body will be able to produce that which you said she's supposed to produce. He just rejoiced in the future that was God ordained for their lives. So rehearse the past. That gives you confidence for the future. Rejoice over the future, but then make sure you are receiving presently, right? It's not just past and future, but what about right now today? Father, thank you that we've received the increase that you said is part of our lives. And I know the enemy's been trying to work these things, but I thank you that today, in the present, by faith, we have increase.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's not just future, right?
Right.
In the future, we might actually see the full manifestation of these things, but by that point, we're on to the next step that God has for us, right?
Amen.
But what about the present? We have the increase that God said we have. Already it's been made available in the spirit realm. And thank you, Father, that we have it by faith. By faith, we give you glory for all that you've provided for us, all that you have for us. And there's a different attitude, if I could say it that way, when you're talking in the present.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Amen. Faith sees that they have it now.
That's right.
Faith is now. Faith is now a now activity.
That's right.
It's not just, 10 years from now.
That's
where Abraham had to make the adjustment. He kept saying, God, I know you can, but I keep looking at the situation. And he had to get that flipped around where he was no longer considering the situation. He said, I see the situation, but you're God. And what you say, you can call into existence things that don't exist.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by faith, we have it presently.
Mm-hmm.
We have it now.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't know if this helped you, but it's helping me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the opportunity to walk by faith. Thank God for the opportunity to believe God when it looks unbelievable.
Yes. Yep.
Ha! Glory to God. Why don't you stand to your feet? Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for the opportunity. Why don't you say this with me? Father,
thank you
for the increase
in
2024.
We increase
more
and more
and more.
Thank you, Father,
that we have it by faith
now
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.